underneath the water. It was huge black mat. It was just monster. It was scary. It was that big.
We looked over top of the trees, and there was this object there out of nowhere. This great big object. It was about 300 foot wide, the size of a football field hanging over your head, and about 300 foot off the ground.
This thing was 10 foot tall. He had beautiful hair.
Hello, and
hi there.
Welcome. Welcome to the underground.
Welcome back.
It's Elisa.
And Jarrett.
And we're busy getting creepy.
Investigating.
Saying these creepy words into the microphone so you can listen to them and you never have to read it.
Yeah.
Look it up yourself.
You don't have to go to those poorly made websites.
So you don't have to go back to GeoCities.
With green text over blue background. And
the glittery GIF images.
And fake falling stars.
Oh, where your cursor
had
HTML code attached to it, so it could be like flashing.
Yeah, so if you had a slow computer, it would just, you couldn't read the page. It just fucked it up. Your computer's just trying to make that cursor work.
Mm-hmm. I think that's how everyone in the millennial generation was introduced to HTML.
Yeah, especially.
Was doing like that Facebook bullshit.
Uh-huh, in the MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
And
or
also,
not Facebook, yeah, MySpace.
And also your parents just fucking up the computer by opening attachments on every... Because my computer was fine until my parents and aunt and uncle and whoever used the computer would just open anything that was in their email.
I remember when, like, you remember when those like AOL discs came out?
I used to shoot them with my BB gun.
Oh.
Because that was the only use I had for
it. As a young boy, what would I expect? But I remember like getting those, and as a little kid, like, I didn't understand that you couldn't just put it in and then that's how you got the internet.
Oh.
Is you just put it in the computer and you got the internet. I didn't understand that there was anything more than that. And like,
why don't they
just
call it
now,
magic online?
Just now thinking back, I'm like, oh, that's how that works within adult eyes.
I had a little thing kind of like that too. I was like, so they're just giving all this away free. How do they make money? Why would anybody pay for it if they're just giving away? I have stacks of these. Why would I ever pay them money?
Oh, it's fun to think back on children thoughts.
Yeah.
Children thoughts brought to you by Elisa and Jarrett.
So let's go, before we get into the case files, I want to bring you a little bit of underground news.
Ooh.
We bring you case files that may be from the past. Some of them are from the present, but most of them are kind of archive case files. But we got to keep up to date with some of this stuff.
Updates.
And this was only a week ago. This is CNN. I know some of you might think, CNN, that's Communist News Network.
Whoa, that's controversial.
But this was on many news sites, so these quotes are on lots of different news sites, so it doesn't matter. Pilots say they spotted UFOs while flying over Arizona. What?
Bum, bum.
So there were these two pilots flying over the Arizona desert, and they claimed they saw an unidentified flying object as they passed overhead. These were two separate pilots, not two in the same plane.
Oh.
Not, one wasn't flying as a passenger in another pilot's plane.
Hey, you know, in those big commercial airliners,
yeah,
there's so, two pilots.
Some people, one pilot might just be on vacation, you know.
Oh.
Anyways, one is a Learjet pilot, and one was an American Airlines pilot. This was from February 24th. The Learjet pilot radioed to air traffic controller in Albuquerque.
Was anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago? Negative.
The air traffic controller said.
Okay.
The pilot said.
Something did.
Gosh.
A UFO.
Somebody quickly responded.
Yeah.
The pilot replied again with a chuckle. That was the first sighting of this object. The second sighting, the FAA controller alerted an American Airlines pilot that was flying in the area, according to the recorded release of the FAA.
American 1095, let me know anything pass over you here in the next 15 miles?
The air traffic controller said.
Let you know if anything passes over.
The pilot responded.
American 1095, affirmative. We had an aircraft in front of you that reported something pass over him, and we didn't have any targets, so just let me know if you see anything pass over you.
See, you don't hear all the uhs I say because I try to edit most of them out, but I can't. I'm leaving these ones in because this is written in the transcript. Shortly after, the pilot radioed back in.
It's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over us,
the pilot said.
I don't know what it was, but it was at least 200-300 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
This is pretty legit.
Yeah?
This is very real.
So the word UFO is obviously unidentified flying object. It doesn't say that there's aliens in there. It just means that we didn't identify it. It just left. We didn't say, hey, who are you?
Yeah, exactly. Are it could have been spies.
It could have been spies.
It could have been the Russian.
It could have been just one of our secret planes that a lot of the rest of the country doesn't know about.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's definitely a real story.
It's at the very least an anomaly in the radar systems.
Ew.
So, definitely. Yeah, we're going to start off with that. So, let's move on to our main case files with Elisa.
Let's open them up. Let's take a look inside.
paper noise.
So the case file I'm bringing to the table today is the case file of Project Blue Beam. Book?
Oh, darn. We would need...
No, that would be way
we
more
We would
time.
Need 5 weeks to do Project Blue Book.
No, this is Project Blue Beam.
That sounds like a Pokemon move. Use Project Blue Beam, Lapras.
There's definitely lots of beams in Pokemon.
Yeah.
This was a conspiracy theory brought around by a Quebecois, I believe.
Someone from Quebec?
Yeah, Quebecois. Conspiracy theorist named Serge Monast. Monast.
Okay.
And this, okay, so this is a picture of what he looks like. So you can judge how credible this man looks.
He looks like he's a Gettysburg reenactor.
I really love his beard.
Yeah.
It's a very bushy beard.
A great big bushy beard. He looks like he would be on Ancient Aliens or selling a book. Oh, there he is selling a book.
Yes. He wrote a book on this conspiracy theory in 1994.
Definitely looks like he defends pedophilia.
Oh, that's a strong slap in the face, Jarrett, to this man.
Oh, I guess I should take that.
That is
that's slander or libel.
Yeah. This man is dead, but he has children.
Yeah. Is he a bad man, though?
I mean, his conspiracy theory is really insane.
Oh, okay.
This man looks like he definitely owns a very silky robe.
He definitely looks like he owns more than one pipe. And they're not clean.
He looks like a crazy man. That's
looks
what
like
looks
he owns
like.
At least... something that's steam powered.
Let me look at him again.
It looks like he owns a rocking chair that he made himself.
He looks like he knows all the different types of wood.
Yeah. You don't want to use rosewood on that one.
Yeah.
You need a denser wood.
Let me see if there's another crazy picture of him. Ooh, yes.
It looks like he knows a lot of different types of beetles.
It looks like he would be the person who would have sauce like all over their mustache.
And he would leave it. It looks like he is someone that His breath smells like he just drank milk, and his mustache always has milk crust in it.
Too. Yeah. This guy looks like he'd be in a cult.
Yeah,
like
but
an
not,
Amish cult.
Not a leader though, like no, the no, no, third no. ranking person. That
the guy who gets killed first just because he was a weenie.
Yeah.
And he did something that the cult leader didn't like. We've gone on quite a while on what this guy looks like.
That's just funny. You can't show people except no. through our
like
social
if people
media.
Yeah, if people went on Instagram they would see.
So
but
we gotta paint a picture with our words.
We're painting a picture for you. Okay, so Project Bluebeam is a conspiracy theory that claims that NASA is attempting to implement a new age religion with the Antichrist at its head and start a new world order via a technological simulated second coming.
So when did they contact Ellen DeGeneres to be the Antichrist?
Oh, Ellen DeGeneres, you think she's the Antichrist?
She's so annoying.
That's it?
Yeah, I don't like her.
You pick the person you find the most annoying and you're like, clearly they are the Antichrist.
Yeah, because I find being annoyed worse than like destroying the world. Like Trump's an awful person, but I wouldn't.
You don't think he's more annoying than Ellen DeGeneres?
No. There's a difference between annoying and awful and evil.
Okay, all right. I understand. I just don't fully understand your choice is the most annoying.
Dory is awful. I hate Dory.
That is a terrible. Like, probably my least favorite Pixar character.
And she makes people dance on her show.
Oh.
And people love her. Ellen DeGeneres.
So Ellen DeGeneres. Okay. Yeah. How did we even get on this dance?
I don't know. Just happens. Let it happen.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to remember what to get back to. So this whole theory.
Or maybe that kid that doesn't think raptors are scary in Jurassic Park.
That's the Antichrist?
Yeah, that kid.
I believe that more. Did you see his face?
His eyes are so scary.
They're sagging out of his head.
He grew up to be really scary.
I thought you were going to say, like, you knew for sure. Like, you had, like, a picture of this dude.
No, I'm just... You don't need proof.
I think he grew up to be, like, hot, actually.
No, you're thinking of the kid from Harry Potter.
What, Daniel Radcliffe?
No,
Neville Longbottom?
Yeah.
There's more than one child actor that was ugly and then hot.
Daniel Radcliffe is still weird looking.
Daniel Radcliffe's just really tiny.
No, he has a weird shaped head. We have to get to your conspiracy theory.
We have been riffing for too long. People in this episode are going to be like, I don't understand.
Hey, at least you got a little taste with the UFO thing. That'll hold them off. Okay, go.
Okay. So supporters of this conspiracy theorist who came up with all of this, Monast. Jesus Christ.
Monast. How's it spelled?
M-O-N-A-S-T, but he's like French-Canadian. Suggests that he and another unnamed journalist, who both died of heart attacks in 1996, were in fact assassinated, and that the Canadian government kidnapped Monast's daughter in an effort to dissuade him from investigating Project Bluebeam.
So, this is the end of the story?
No. No. A conspiracy theory upon a conspiracy theory.
Oh, okay.
The supporters of Monast think that he was assassinated.
By McDonald's.
No, by the Canadian government.
Oh, I thought he died of a heart attack.
He did, but he had no heart problems.
Oh, he didn't have heart problems.
No.
Was he fat?
Well, you saw the fucking picture of him.
But maybe that was an early picture.
He was, like, kind of, you know, like, a little tube. But according to Monast, the project has four steps. And I'm going to tell you all of them.
This is the project that Monast came up with.
No. He's revealed to the world Project Bluebeam.
And this is the NASA thing.
Yes. This is the four steps of Project Bluebeam. Step one. Step one requires the breakdown of all archaeological knowledge. This will apparently be accomplished by faking earthquakes at precise locations around the planet. Fake new discoveries at these locations will finally explain to all the people the error of all fundamental religious doctrines, specifically Christian and Muslim doctrines.
Okay, I'm on board.
And the government's going to do this. This is what the government's going to do.
Oh, never mind. I don't trust the government. I can't trust the government to fix potholes.
Yeah, they're going to make fake earthquakes.
Let alone denounce religions.
So, step two. The sky projections will appear to people as their god.
Sky projections?
The sky projections will appear to people as their god.
He didn't explain what sky projections were.
Well, I'm continuing.
Oh, he needs a glossary.
So step two involves a gigantic quote-unquote space show wherein three-dimensional holographic laser projections will be beamed all over the planet. And this is where Bluebeam really takes off. The projections will take the shape of whatever deity is most predominant and will speak in all languages. At the end of this light show, the gods will all merge into one god, the Antichrist.
So it's still just going to be a projection? Okay.
But they all will believe it.
Oh, okay.
Like, this is, people will see it.
It's all a show.
Yeah. It's not like people are going to look in the sky and be like, why is a hologram in the sky? No, they're going to. This plan hinges on the fact people look in the sky. In general, pretty much anything that either A, involves light, or B, has been seen in the sky has been put forward as evidence that Project Bluebeam is real. And such things are tests of the technology, namely unidentified flying objects. So all those UFOs people have been seeing, those are tests of Project Bluebeam. They're testing the holographic deity in the sky.
What? That's stupid.
That's what this conspiracy theory says. Jarrett, you can't reason with it. He's dead.
There's so many layers to that.
Yeah, everything that you've seen that you think are aliens is just us preparing to bring about the new world order.
But what about the people that have been abducted by aliens?
I'm going to get to that.
Oh, he's got an answer for everything. Why was Laverne and Shirley canceled? Well, I have an answer for that.
Because the New World Order. So this stage will apparently be accomplished with the aid of a Soviet computer that will be fed with the minute physiological particulars based on their studies of the anatomy and electromechanical composition of the human body and the studies of the electrical, chemical, and biological properties of the human brain. And every human has been allocated a unique radio wavelength. The computers are also capable of inducing suicidal thoughts.
Oh.
The Soviets are not were... the New World Order people. So the Soviets are doing this with the help of NASA?
That doesn't make sense.
So the Soviets are working together with America.
So did we go to the moon?
I don't think he addresses if that's real or not in this.
Well, was the space race real? I want to know.
We were showing off.
I have more questions.
For the world.
Can he answer my question?
He's dead. And crazy. So the second part of the step two, which we're still only on step two,
of course,
happens when the holograms result in the dissolution of social and religious order, setting loose billions of programmed religious fanatics through demonic possession on a scale never witnessed before.
Programmed religious fanatics. It sounds like an atheist on Facebook or something. You programmed religious fanatics.
And they're going to be possessed by demons. The demons of the Antichrist.
They can transmit so much through these holograms.
They can. They made Tupac.
Tupac is in the New World Order.
Yeah. He is part of the Illuminati.
Yeah.
The United Nations plans to use Beethoven's Ode to Joy as the anthem for the introduction of the New Age One World Religion. So now the United Nations is involved too. So it's NASA, United Nations, and Soviet Union, Russia.
Okay.
So everyone.
So everybody.
Everyone's involved to take over the planet they already own.
Everybody except, like, Guam. Let's go to Guam.
So step three. So step three is telepathic. It's telepathic electronic two-way communication. It involves making people think their God is speaking to them through telepathy.
So this is all a new, they're projecting like a new religion, right?
Yeah, it's all like the Antichrist religion.
Okay.
It's like all just one God. And it's,
but it's all a show.
Yes.
It's all a production.
It's not like that the Antichrist really exists, I think. I don't think he's saying that. But this...
he's not saying that it's not real.
What?
He's not saying
that... Well, no, that the Antichrist is real.
The Antichrist is real.
The Antichrist is the Antichrist. Saying, like, the Antichrist they're projecting is, like, they're making.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought they were just using this idea of an Antichrist... But just using their technology to...
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Okay, so there's not an actual person that has occult powers or
religion. No. Okay. No. Not that I was aware of.
Okay.
I didn't read into that like that. But yeah, so but this part with the telepathy is they think that the God that they believe in mm-hmm. already is the one they see in mm-hmm. the sky uh-huh. is talking to them.
Okay, yeah.
So,
which can be a very powerful thing.
Yeah.
If they can
tell them whatever.
If they can pull that off and convince them with whatever technology that NASA has.
Yeah.
Which NASA has.
And the United Nations.
NASA has like the smallest funding. Even in the 80s, their funding was going down after the Challenger explosion.
Like, what money did they have to make all this technology that doesn't exist?
Yeah. I mean, you could just say, of course, it's masked. You didn't see the real budgets.
So they projected this into the head of each person individually using extreme low-frequency radio waves.
Oh, of course.
Yes. So how would these rays be able to reach people's inner minds? Monast explained, such rays from satellites are fed from the memories of computers that have stored massive data about every human on Earth and their languages. The rays will then interlace with their natural thinking to form what we call diffuse artificial thought.
What? Radio doesn't go into brains. It doesn't. It goes through brains because...
is science really real?
Yeah, it is.
I don't know.
I'm touching wood because...
Is that science, though?
It is. It's biological science.
No, I think that's God.
Okay. Then I'm touching God. I'm touching his balls.
Jared. So step four. Step four has three parts.
Oh.
Yes.
So it's six things. It's six steps.
I guess. But he lumped the last three together.
He didn't want to people to be overcome. So he's like, we'll do a four.
Four sounds better
than
six. We'll
do four steps.
Four sounds better than six. So making humanity think an alien invasion is about to occur at every major city, making the Christians think the rapture is about to happen. A mixture of electronic and supernatural forces, allowing the supernatural forces to travel through fiber optics, coax, power, and telephone lines to penetrate all electronic equipment and appliances that will by then have a special microchip installed. Then chaos will break out, and people will finally be willing, perhaps even desperate, to accept the new world order. The techniques used in the fourth step is exactly the same used in the past in the USSR to force people to accept communism. A device has apparently already been perfected that will lift enormous numbers of people, as in the rapture. UFO abductions are tests of this device. See, I said I would explain UFO abductions.
You did. Yeah.
It's practicing the rapture. The Project Bluebeam proponents believe psychological preparations have already been made. Monast having claimed that 2001 A Space Odyssey, Star Wars, and the Star Trek series are all involved in invasion from space and all nations coming together, and that Jurassic Park propagandizes evolution in order to make people think God's words are all lies.
This guy's fun. He hasn't seen any of these movies.
Jurassic Park came out right before he died.
And he's like, everybody's killing God. And then he died.
That's why he died.
Yeah, Jurassic
because
Park
the dinosaurs. Because
of CGI dinosaurs. His heart stopped.
He didn't believe it when Jeff Goldblum said, life finds a way.
No, God lets you do things.
But yeah, so 2001 A Space Odyssey isn't an alien invasion movie.
Yeah, Star Wars isn't necessarily an alien invasion movie.
Star Trek is not an alien invasion.
Star Trek, they're going out into space.
Yeah, so...
They're invading other planets.
Says all an invasion from space.
Yeah.
And all nations coming together. Okay.
Well yeah, that's what Star Trek is.
Star Wars is all nations coming together
and
to like
Star
fight
Trek.
The... Okay, well, I guess those two are... But 2001 Space Odyssey doesn't make a fucking lick of sense.
No. I always thought it was like, don't trust so much to automation. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Space Odyssey. I mean, of course, there's other things to put into it, like the evolution of man and things like that. But, now I'm linking it to him. Now I see the light. But he put it as an invasion from space. It talks a lot more about evolution of man and stuff like that.
Well, he missed the meaning.
He didn't watch the movies.
The book detailed the theory. In the 1994 lecture, Monet detailed what would happen afterwards. All people will be required to take an oath to Lucifer with a ritual initiation to enter the New World Order. Resistors cool. will be categorized as follows. Christian children will be kept for human sacrifice or sexual slaves. Prisoners will be used in medical experiment. Prisoners will be used as living organ banks. Healthy workers in slave labor camps. Uncertain prisoners in the International Reeducation Center. Thence to repent on television and learn to glorify the New World Order. The International Execution Center. And an as yet unknown seventh classification. He literally put that as a seventh classification.
Oh my God.
And a yet unknown seventh classification. So Joel Engel's book, Gene Roddenberry, The Myth and the Man Behind Star Trek, was released in 1994. Shortly before Monast's lecture on Project Bluebeam. In May 1975, Gene Roddenberry accepted an offer from Paramount to develop Star Trek into a feature film and moved back into his old office on the Paramount lot. His proposed story told of a flying saucer hovering above Earth that was programmed to send down people who looked like prophets, including Jesus Christ. All the steps of the conspiracy theory were in the unmade mid-70s Star Trek film script by Roddenberry.
Ooh.
Which were recycled for the Star Trek The Next Generation episode, Devil's Due, broadcast in 1991. There is no evidence of deliberate fraud on Monast's part, but there is the exact, pretty much same story in a Star Trek episode that came out 3 years before he wrote released his book.
Come on, Monast. And died.
Released his book and died.
Tapping shit on Jurassic Park.
Blaming Star Trek for his Star Trek episode. Anyway.
This Star Trek dribble. Don't look at that. Look at this thing I made.
But he has a lot of supporters. It's like a big conspiracy theory. So, I mean, it seems like there's a lot of conspiracy theories that just have like huge followings that have like one dude who like came up with them. Like the one that I went over with the Nobiru.
Yeah.
Planet.
Yeah.
It's like the same kind of situation. And like these guys just like pull his shit out of their ass. It's like, it's like all of these guys could have been Scientology. They're all like just a really shitty L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah. Even that one guy I talked about when I did the Gerlins episode, how he found that, where how they took him to Venus and yeah. they let him have sex with the one woman they had. And he had that one gremlin body in his shop for a while. And he charged people to see it. But he was going to write a book. And then everything in his shop burned down, and
oh my
he had
gosh.
No evidence of what he had.
It's just insane. So I guess we got to say it, you know. What are we filing this under, Jarrett? Real or not real?
Well, when you talk about Jurassic Park in such a light, you got to go to hell with the Antichrist. Fuck this guy.
Okay, not real.
Very entertaining, though.
I'm glad you enjoyed my story. So, Jared, what are you shining a light on this week?
Well, I'll be shining the light on the murky depths of the Hawkesbury River.
Ooh.
It's in New South Wales, Australia.
Oh.
Down there lives a monster with teeth as big as steak knives. Is this a knife? No, this is a knife. No, that's a tooth. From the monster from Hawkesbury River. All right. Stories about this creature in Australia date back to before the first white settlers, and they're part of the Aborigine folklore. Women and children would be snatched from the water while they were swimming and bathing.
So yeah. It was an alligator?
We don't know. No. There's more. Early settlers were warned with these stories from the Aborigines of a creature that goes by the name of Mooleyewonk.
Moo?
The Mooleyewonk.
Mooleyewonk.
Or Mirori Uler. So I just say Mooleyewonk, because that one's way easier.
Mirurir.
Mirori Uyet. Uler. Mirori Uler.
Mirori Uler.
So I just say Mooleyewonk. That one's fun.
That is way more fun.
So they were told about these numerous attacks on people, mostly women and children. And they even have made entire boats of people disappear, kind of like Mokele Mbembe.
Mokele Mbembe.
Yeah. So these people would disappear completely. And then their boats would be found overturned or completely battered.
Like a true kaiju.
Maybe. We have a little bit of... I found this site that had, like, cryptid classifications, and I went to the sea monsters section, and I found for this monster, it kind of falls in between two. Sometimes it's described as what's called a marine saurian, which is a marine reptile or lizard. It resembles a alligator or crocodile with scales with a big head sometimes, but most of the time, it's what's known as a long-necked sea monster or cryptid. Which is the very common, similar to Nessie or Loch Ness monster. This one is much bigger, reportedly much bigger than the Loch Ness monster. It has a small head like Nessie with four flippers, but it's between 30 and 70 feet long. Sometimes even bigger, sometimes reportedly 24 meters long, which is like 75 feet long.
Oh my gosh. What this, I mean, like, Nessie's so cute.
I know.
And how is this thing eating people? That makes me scared.
So, according to Australian naturalist Rex Gilroy, a Cantuba-based author and head of Australian Unknown Animals Investigation Centre. That's one reason I picked an Australian one, because it's fun. Information collected so far suggests to me that the creatures are breeding somewhere offshore and laying their eggs inland. This would not be out of character, as there were both freshwater and saltwater breeds during the Cretaceous period, he said. They are still being seen in the Hawkesbury River, of course, which is not surprising because it is such a deep river. Actually, it's a sunken valley.
You sound like Hugh Jackman from Chappie. It is making me die.
One of the first recorded accounts was just after World War II, besides the ones the Aborigines talked about to the settlers. Douglas Bradburn. I don't know why they gave me a name. They don't give me any other information about him, but that's his name if you want to look him up.
Douglas Bradburn.
He went fishing with a group of his friends at the mouth of the Hawkesbury River in Broken, which I assume is a province or a city or something, when a creature rose 6 meters above the water. 6 meters, that's about...
10 feet.
It's about 18 feet.
Oh my God, I'm bad.
Startled, the men dropped all of their fishing rods and they rowed frantically towards the shore and they got away. So they must have been rowing hard, but it must have scared them. So here's another account. This is from an article from the Costa Rican Times. It doesn't sound legit, but it has a website. That's all I can tell you, how legit it is.
You never showed me a picture.
It's not really a picture. I can show you what a plesiosaur looks like.
I know what a plesiosaur looks like.
Well, I'll show you.
I need to know what an artist rendering.
I'm going to show you what a...
Mimu Mama looks like.
I have a sighting video. I wanted to... I can show you that now or at the end.
Well, do you have just a picture?
Like, I have a very funny picture.
Okay, I want to see the funny picture.
Okay, I'll set it up. Now, before I get to another account, I want to show you one of the pictures that was on many websites for this story. It's a picture taken seemingly from above at a patch of water, and it has an outline around it showing you where the monster is. And let me see if you can see the monster. There's a picture with an outline around
nothing
in a plesiosaur shape.
It's in a dick shape. That's what it
it is around nothing. So that is one of the most popular pictures, seemingly.
There's nothing. There's literally nothing. Like, not even a shadow.
There is nothing. Yes.
They just drew an outline that looked kind of like it could be a monster.
Yes, and I have a couple videos that are a little more exciting a little later on. Another account is from the Costa Rican Times, and the author of the article tells us about a story when his cousin and an army buddy were on leave from the Vietnam War. They saw the creature. Terrence was fishing with another soldier, and they saw a 35-foot creature swimming in the river. The creature was described as having a snake-like head, so it's probably a plesiosaur-type creature. Terrence thought it looked like an aquatic dinosaur. Other descriptions of the creature... Sightings say it's a grayish black, and it's between 7 and 24 meters in length. That's a big gap. But
that is a huge gap.
That means, at most, like I said, it's probably 75 feet long. And they're saying that puts it about 5 times bigger than a great white shark. That's pretty big. And the equivalent length of 5 Holden Commodores. That's a very popular car in Australia. Let me put that in context. That's pretty similar to a Chevy Malibu here in the States.
Oh.
And
for people who don't know anything about cars, Jarrett.
Yes. Oh. You don't know what a Chevy Malibu is?
Jarrett, for people who are
mid-sized
listening.
Mid-sized four-door
there
sedan.
There we go.
Mid-sized four-door sedan.
For people if you who parked are listening.
5 of those mid-sized four-door sedans. Park them bumper to bumper, all right? That's how long it is. Like Nessie, the cryptozoologists also think it is a plesiosaur. That means it has, like I said, 2 sets of flippers and a snake-like long neck with a head at the top. Of course, the plesiosaur is known to be extinct for 70 million years. And, of course, all of its variants are extinct. Should be.
There's been a lot of sightings of ones that are supposed to be like them.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. So then through mainly the 60s and 70s, except for that one during Vietnam, there wasn't too many encounters, but they really pick up in the 80s. Mulye Wonk comes back. There was a report of a group of fishermen fishing in the river again in a small aluminum boat. They said the water below around them started to warp And then suddenly, a sea creature violently surfaced below their boat. This catapulted their vessel 3 meters into the air.
Oh my God!
Which is about 10 feet. And this just threw them all in the river. They all survived, which it doesn't make the story any better. Around this time, though, a 15-meter-long-necked reptilian creature was observed as it swam up the river around the time that that attack happened. So there's corroborating stories here. And that was, it was swimming towards the bridge, and someone was on the bridge and saw it. Eyewitnesses say it was similar to the plesiosaur dinosaur.
Okay, so who plesiosaurs
are not
first?
Dinosaurs. I have to set that straight. Huh?
Who came forward first about their sighting? Were the guys in the boat like, whoa, this happened to us? And then like a bunch of people were like, oh, I saw something around.
This was not specified in the 2 or 3 articles that they all said the same thing, but it was not specified.
Because I was going to say, if the guys in the boat came out first,
mm-hmm.
everyone's a little less credible. They just want part of the pie.
Yeah. I think probably the boat was maybe just the lady on the bridge, because it was a lady. She's like, I want a little bit of attention.
Oh, for sure.
Not because she's a lady. I'm just saying the men probably said it first,
because mm-hmm.
they're all like, hey, let's make a story. And then the lady's like, hey, I want a little bit of attention. The men escaped with their lives, but other reports included boats found adrift with their occupants nowhere to be found, and boats smashed and overturned kept coming up.
Missing boats.
Yeah, missing boats just kept coming up.
Well, you know, people could just smash boats as pranks to make people think.
Or like insurance fraud, yeah. Or a cheating boyfriend is like, you love your boat more than me. And then they smash the boat.
Is it the guy's cheating on her with the boat?
Yeah, he's fucking the boat. Also during this time, strange slide marks started being discovered along the Hawkesbury River shore. Mm. The marks of massive creatures also have presumably left the water to rest on the banks. These marks appeared with some regularity through the 1980s, when several of these mysterious events took place. Yeah, so they're like doing what crocodiles do, kind of slipping up and down. And
so there's no way this could be a crocodile.
I didn't do too much. There are some animals in this river that might be dangerous, but I did not see anything about crocodiles. I might have... You know what? Let's Google it right now.
Because Australia is known for
crocodiles. Oh, I know.
Crocodiles.
I loved everything about Animal Planet before it turned to shit. All I'm getting is... The first thing up here is about this monster.
Oh, hell yeah.
Another one about the monster. Another one about the monster. This one has a 404 error, so it doesn't exist. So yeah, it seems like they are obviously reptiles. So they, because they're not dinosaurs, plesiosaurs. Mm-hmm. So they come on land and lay their eggs, because the babies are going to need oxygen. They can't lay their eggs on the bottom of the ocean or the river. So they're saying that they come up on land, lay their eggs, and rest or whatever. So they're saying that that's what those slip marks are. I don't know.
Hmm.
But there are seals and sea lions in this. I don't know about sea lions, but seals in this river too. So
there's seals in that river?
Yeah, because it's connected to the ocean. It's not super close to the ocean, but it is connected. Well, back to our friend Rex Gilroy, the head of Australian Unknown Animals Investigation Center, where the acronym spells out AUIC.
AUIC.
AUIC. He says, sooner or later, I'm hoping to get the shot of shots. Here, there are stories of houseboats being lifted up at one end when something underneath tried to surface over at Jerusalem Bay. A lot of inlets here have stories. Rex is the curator of all incidents regarding this creature, with his wife. His wife does this with him.
Oh.
Of course, she's a huge believer. He states that there is also ancient geoglyphic rock art on the banks of the river depicting this creature from the ancient peoples of the area. So these prove the stories of the Aborigines. What do you think about that?
Is there any pictures that we can
no.
see? Okay.
I did not see any of that. He states that there are.
Well, if it's true...
Robert, but now we have somebody else that has an opinion. You see if you believe him or not. Robert Jones, a paleontologist.
Oh, my God.
Listen to that name. Whoop-dee-doo. Paleontologist. From the Australian Museum, said that as far as science is concerned, the existence of the Hawkesbury River monster has never been proven. It's impossible for them to live in the Hawkesbury River. They just don't exist.
All right, I feel you. I feel you, man.
With all his research and proving things with science.
With all his knowledge.
Yeah.
His crazy brain.
So, we have some videos now.
Yay!
The first is the only footage of this monster, supposedly.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
So,
is it as good as the footage of that gray coming up behind it?
It's pretty good. Now, it's up for interpretation, of course.
A Sydney family fishing on the Hawkesbury River were stunned by the sight of a large creature splashing near their boat. Fethiada was wetting a line with his siblings, daughter, and grandchildren near Patonga when the creature broke through the water's surface. It looked human the way it lifted its head up, Mr. Ada told Yahoo 7 News. It was very strange. We saw it for about 10 seconds. In the clip, recorded by 65-year-old Fethiada, you see a dark-looking object appearing to float along the river. It dunks its head under the surface before appearing again.
What do you think?
The video
like
then cuts before we can get a close.
The scariest part of that video is that sounds like an Australian computer-generated voice.
It's definitely a computer-generated voice.
It's so scary.
You can do that on YouTube and a lot of things. They have a range of voices, and it just narrates what you say. That's beside the point. That's beside the point. What do you think of the clip?
Oh, it's a seal.
Yeah, it's a seal.
It's
gotta
a seal.
Be. But this is like all over. Like, this is real. This is a monster here. What is this? Like, all the titles.
Even, like, that's insane. It looks it's like a seal.
Like, seals do that with their head. Like,
yeah, that little like, poking up, and it looks like it's a rolling around in the.
Yeah, because they have necks, mammalian necks. That's why it looks kind of human, that like you said.
Yeah.
That's why it moves differently than a reptile or a fish or whatever he wants to. Whatever he suspects it should move like.
Yeah.
That's why it moves different than what he thinks.
Because the second I saw that, I was like, that is a fucking seal.
Yeah. So I kind of went in, since that was like the only video of footage, I kind of went into like a hole of people talking about things about the monster and just the river in general. So this river is really popular for fishing, some recreation, but mostly fishing. The fishing's good there, all right. And this one guy, there's one video that I saw, it says, don't swim in the Hawkesbury River. That's the title.
That's all it said.
It's a minute long, so we'll just narrate it a little bit for you, so you all the people listening. So it's not that long. That's the title. Don't swim in the the Hawkesbury River.
Don't swim in it.
So there's not much audio to this. It's just a video of a guy dropping a GoPro into the river. So he's dropping it in the water.
Okay, making a lot of unpleasant noise.
It's pretty murky. Saw one little fish there.
Yeah, it's just all green. Oh, there's a fish.
One fish there. Huge bull shark.
Ooh.
And an even bigger bull shark. And then another bull shark.
Yeah.
So it's just, oh, and then another bull shark.
So is he saying one of those bull sharks is...
He's not saying anything about the monster.
Oh, he's just saying don't swim in it because there's a bunch of sharks.
Yeah, because bull shark is probably the most dangerous shark because it's the most aggressive shark.
Well, then all these people getting fucking killed, and it's their own goddamn fault. There's fucking aggressive ass sharks in there.
I'm not blaming the sharks.
I'm not blaming the sharks. I'm just saying I'm blaming the people.
Yeah.
Holy shit, these idiots.
And I looked on a map, and that area is pretty far inland from the ocean. Those sharks are known for going very high up in the rivers.
That's
so you think you're safe,
insane.
And people think that's probably why. I think that, and that's my theory. I think people are blaming this monster, and maybe some of them are sharks.
I think you're right, because people probably think, oh, there's no sharks here.
Yeah,
because
they're in a river. They're like, oh, sharks are just sea creatures.
Yeah, and they see all these things that are like a mix of probably sharks, crocodiles, and seals.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, monster.
Mm-hmm. Not that a shark could overturn a boat, or that it wants to. Not, it doesn't even want to eat people.
Once again, let us bring this back to over-exaggerated real events.
Yes. And I just want to say again, I don't blame the sharks. I love wildlife, but those are the most dangerous sharks.
Yeah.
And they're the most aggressive. So just don't fuck with them. That's my idea with wildlife. It's very beautiful, but some of it just shouldn't be fucked with.
Yes.
So we have a closing statement with our pal, Rex Gilroy. He has to say, it seems to me that we have a race of creatures that are officially extinct, yet they're still with us. As to what it is, I believe it's a marine reptile of some sort that scientists should really start taking an interest in. We've got a lot going on in our own backyard, and Australians should be investigating. He's really mad.
He's really pissed.
He wants some help. Send in the National Guard. Do we have one here in Australia? I don't know. I'm an American.
Well, I think they should do something about the shark problem. They should do something about
it. I think they should just...
Well, I mean...
Close the beaches on July 4th.
Yeah, close the beaches.
We gotta pay Quint to kill the shark.
That's what you gotta do. Black eyes.
Like a dog's eyes.
Like a dog's eyes.
It's not dog. She always says dog's eyes. It's like a dog's.
That's what I thought it was since I was a child, and I will refuse to change my mind.
Like a dog's eyes.
Like
doesn't
a
work.
Dog's eyes.
Like a dog's eyes. It didn't seem to be living. Wouldn't they mind you?
Well, I'm going to file it under...
Yeah, what do you think about this one?
Kind of real, you know?
Kind of real.
The real experience...
Well, obviously,
not really a monster.
Definitely, the creature lived at some point. I don't think they lived through the mass extinction. So,
and even if they did, we would have known by now.
They're hard to. Yeah, it's 75 feet long. That's only 25 feet shorter than a blue whale. Come on.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
long,
hard to miss
in a river.
Yeah.
It's longer than a humpback, I think. I think humpbacks hover around there. So, yeah, we had some fun with some files.
We did. We had lots of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed these tales from beyond.
So, stay tuned for some friends.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Got some promos for you. They're some friends. We would love to invite them into our bunker.
Yeah, come on in. Eat some canned pears.
If the shit ever hits the fans.
We'll abduct you. But, yeah, thanks for listening.
Give us a review on the old iTunes and the Stitchers, please.
Yeah, review us.
We're glad to be back in the underground. I hope you like that double underground you got.
Yeah.
And it's AVP Real.
Yeah, AVP Real, so we're coming back with Resurrection.
Yeah, we're doing, no, Alien versus Predator Requiem.
Close.
And we made some shirts for you if you want to check those out. And
yeah, to represent your team.
Yeah, pick a team, Xenomorph or Predator.
Pick a side.
Pick a side, goddammit. And yeah.
Team Xenomorph.
Where are we going to see them?
Oh, we're going to see you on the other side.
Yeah, so you better praise Godzilla.
Praise Godzilla.
Praise him.
Praise Godzilla.
Praise
you
him.
You gotta praise him.
And look into praise your heart.
Praise Godzilla.
Look
praise
into
him.
Your mind. Praise him.
Yeah.
See what movie's playing next at Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In on Instagram, Facebook, and our website. Just add that catch us on Twitter at SFDFDIPodcast.
Hey, Christy, what do we talk about on our podcast?
Well, Ashley, we talk about all kinds of weird stuff.
Like aliens.
And ghosts.
And cults.
And cryptids.
And witches.
And murders.
Yeah, even sometimes murders. Basically, we talk about all kinds of weird shit.
Well, I already said that.
Oh.
So yeah, if you like weird topics, feminist rants, and the occasional F-bomb, you should listen to us.
We post new episodes every other Monday.
Find us online at thatsweird.org.
And subscribe to That's Weird on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Lisa Lucas from Best Forevers, a podcast for kindred spirits. I'd like to start a movement where we spend more time loving on our friends because although friends are important to us, they're often in the shadow of other relationships. So if you want to love on your friendships a little bit more, embrace friendship a little bit more, or just appreciate your friendships a little bit more, then this podcast is for you. We'll explore all the different ways friendships take place, share the amazing stories of friendship, and discuss best practices for the difficulties that friends may experience. It's time to embrace friendships because without our friends, who would we be? So check out Best Forevers on iTunes, Stitcher, and all the other podcasting listening venues. And be sure to follow Best Forevers Pod on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
What is it that makes us so afraid of what we don't understand? We're setting out to investigate everything strange and unusual in our world. If they have the technology to get here, they're not coming here to like observe us to be like, ooh, what can we learn? We invite guests that bring their different perspectives on the supernatural.
I mean, especially considering the fact that the overwhelming majority of UFO sightings and documentation occurs within miles of nuclear testing facilities.
Yeah. They bring their own personal encounters with the paranormal.
All of a sudden, I feel this whoosh of wind and this ringing in my ears so loud that makes me stand up straight. And I look at my dad to just stand up too. And we both had this moment of, you know, maybe we should get out of here. Something doesn't feel right.
And something woke me up and told me, Ashley, there's someone in the closet.
A few months into living at the new house, I was woken up to the lamps being on and the snow globe music box going off.
Hello. And most of all, we just have a ton of fun.
Jacques would never eat, not a single bite. Just sip from his glass of wine.
He was a vampire. He's a vampire.
100% a vampire. Holy buckets. So I have a bathroom ghost that follows me.
You know who else has a bathroom ghost?
Who?
Harry Potter. My name is Ashley, and this is my co-host, Lauren.
Hello, weirdos.
And you are listening to Keep It Weird.